always got on them. But we knew laughter was a form of, you know,
bonding.
But you know what? It does heal when you lose. Like, you know, you guys, we suck today. And they're like, yeah, we know that, coach. You know what? You know what? And then you just start, you come up with something, you start making them laugh, and then they're like, you know, Larry Willard, every time he was with us, you know, being on the team, he was a local boy. You know, it's like, coach, I know we can't watch any videos after we lose on the ride home, but, you know, can we watch The Simpsons? And so we'd watch The Simpsons all the way home. I'm like, yeah, let's do that, you know, because it wasn't a movie, you know. So he's being, so I'm like, yeah, maybe we can get around this. And the kids felt like they gained something. You know, hey, we got one over on the coaches. We knew what they were doing. We're not like, oh, yeah, hey, we're dumb as, you know, bricks here. But you know what? It starts forming a bond. And if you can laugh at each other, with each other, at yourself, you know, that's what we do. That's what, you know, Dyer and I do with St. Francis. We're always on each other. We play good cop, bad cop, good cop, bad cop, no cop. Oh, Mike's not here today, so let's just all have fun and play. All parents aren't here. Let's play games. Let's play tag. And then all the kids are like, yeah. Oh, we see parents. Now back to practice, you know. And then the kids are like, oh, yeah, and, you know, but you know what? We know what we know. But if they're not having fun, and I had fun playing. When I played, I had so much fun. I worked my tail off. It was hard. It hurt. I was sore. I was broken. But I had experience of a lifetime that I can never explain. And I want that for other kids. Mm-hmm. But my one, there's a bunch of stories with that junior team. I remember we were driving back from Cleveland, and our bus driver was on an oxygen. I remember his name was Bob. Do you remember him?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. He had an oxygen to keep him alive. Yep. And he's driving down the road, and he didn't have his oxygen, and we're veering off to the middle lane. And I'm sitting there, and Laura Kinsella and Brian were sitting. They always sit. Either she sat in front of him or next to him, and I always sat by myself. And I'm sitting there, and I'm looking. I'm like, we're going to hit a car. And Laura's like, I know. Oh. And I'm like, so we just missed the car. And I'm like, Bob, you got your oxygen on? Oh, yeah, I just took off right, and he puts it back on. I'm like, out of all the bus drivers in the world, you got a hockey team. We are going to be in a front-covered USA today because this is going to crash. This is going to be ugly. I mean, I could see it. We're going 50 miles an hour, whatever, 70 miles an hour. We're going to hit something. So I'm sitting there, and then all of a sudden, there's a trucker that goes in our lane. We're in his lane, and we both clip mirrors, and our mirror gets ripped off the bus, and sparks are flying everywhere, and Bob goes, what was that? It happened right by your head, your mirror, right by you. Didn't you see it? I go, you just hit that truck. No, I didn't. I go, you guys just clipped each other's mirror. Just kept on going. I mean, it's hitting the glass all the way down. Sparks are flying everywhere. And he's like, what was that?
What was that?
I'm like, So I'm telling these stories that hopefully parents don't understand that. This is not normal. It doesn't really happen all the time.
I think probably my baptism into hanging out, having a couple pops, and laughing with other coaches, too, was you, Kinsey, me. We were in Grand Rapids.
Flags.
Had a pop with Flags and got introduced to the guy who probably scarred me more than most, and that was Jeff Lang.
Yep, Langer.
Langer was, to me, to this day, I can't decide between him and Jack out of St. Louis, Jack Behan, were the funniest human beings in hockey, hands down. I think I did pee my pants a couple times.
Yeah, Langer is a good guy. So is Flags.
Yeah, Flags is great.
Flags is great, but he was more business.
Yeah, but I was going to say, Flags went away from the rink. Flags is probably one of the greatest guys you ever run into. But at the rink, oh, my God, you had to have law enforcement standby.
Yeah, he was psychotic.
Yeah, he was crazy, nuts, okay? But Langer, oh, my God, Langer was just absolutely – I mean, I remember one time I had to leave the room because my ribs hurt. Yeah. I was laughing so hard that my ribs hurt.
Yeah, I think weren't we in their office?
Yes.
I remember that now.
Yes. Yes, and we just absolutely, I mean, Langer was just
It was before a game, wasn't it?
No, it was after
the
game.
Oh, it was after the game?
Yeah, we hadn't done, you guys, you and Kinsey hadn't done bet checks yet.
Yeah.
So we just thought we'd have a pop and, you know, hang out for a little bit and then go. And we ended up, oh, my God, like I said, we just ended up staying there. And it was just like, oh, I was in tears. I was laughing so hard. Because Langer just had just this crazy view of everything,
right?
And on the ice and off, he was just like I say, hysterical. And his view, because he not just from the, you know, coaching with the Owls, but all the scouting he did,
yep,
and everything, and looking at kids for the other team for the next level, trying to move kids and stuff. I mean, his view of them, and also, you know, referees, whatever. I mean, he, like I said, to this day, I'm going to have him do a podcast with me on here, because this is all primarily Cherokee, but I want to have different guys come on here from that were opposition.
Right.
And I want Langer's one of them. Jack will be another. And Jack, oh my God. That's probably one of my more primo memories with you, was we were at Hurster Cup. And I believe it wasn't in Peoria.
Yeah, we were in Peoria. Eric Brown's bar, yep, restaurant.
Yeah, he owned the Mustangs at that, yep, time. Peoria Mustangs.
Yeah.
And
I talked to him once in a while.
Yeah. He Jack. He invited everybody that was at Hurster Cup, all the teams, to come to the bar.
Right.
And so we had, because we all were, weren't we all at the same hotel?
Or well, like nearby. It was us, St. Louis. Peoria was not, because it was in their hometown.
Yeah.
But they met us there. Their hospitality, some of their parents came out. But it was us, St. Louis, were the only three teams that were together that night. The fourth team was there, but they weren't staying at our hotel.
Now, was that that wasn't the year that they had a junior C team there, was it?
No, I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
so,
that came later then, because it was, yeah, I'll tell you about that in a minute. But we had, I'm trying to remember, who was the fourth team?
I don't know. They lost. That's all I remember.
Was it Motor City, was it?
No, it wasn't Motor City. We beat them.
Okay.
I think it was Chicago.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Dick Glass, and then Dick Glass, you know, he owns Powerhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy was ripped.
Yeah, and him and Mark Hammersmith.
Hammersmith, that's right, Hammer. Oh my God, what a goofball! That guy was so funny.
Oh yeah, I loved Hammer. I mean, I can remember like cops would being called from games because fights would break out in the stands.
Yep.
I mean, it got so bad.
Yeah.
And yet, after we were done and calling each other every name there is to call somebody, we'd see each other in the hallway as we're heading out toward the bus, and he's walking out towards his car, and we'd see each other and hug each other and say, hey, good to see you, man.
Yeah.
See, you know, it's like, meanwhile, you know, it's like, you know, 45 minutes ago, you know, law enforcement's out there and everything, and you're just like, it's like.
They don't like each other. They don't wear your jersey.
Yeah, and I mean, it was just
goes
bitter
both
hatred.
Ways.
Yeah, it was bitter
I
hatred.
Don't like you. You don't like me. After the game, we all loved each other.
Yep.
All good.
Yep, it was
but
hilarious.
That's where the game was, you know. Yeah. That's professional. You got in a fight. You bought the guy. Whoever won bought the guy that lost the beer. That's how you know who won the fight. Doesn't matter what the media said or what your team say.
Yeah.
You two guys know head to head.
Yep.
And now nowadays that it's not the case, but whatever.
But we were in Peoria though, and it was our bus.
Yeah.
Crazy Carl was the bus driver.
He was the only bus driver I know that got kicked out of two consecutive games for yelling at the refs and didn't know anything about hockey. He knew nothing of hockey. He got kicked out of two games because he's telling the refs where to go and they don't know what they're doing. And then I asked him, I go, do you know hockey? Nope. First time I ever seen hockey was these games. Never saw hockey.
Yep. He bus drove for like, I think, a couple of girls softball teams and stuff like that. So, you know, and then what made it even better was he would try to go into the locker room.
Oh, I know. I know.
Oh my gosh.
Bunch of misfits as coaches.
And he would, he'd try to get you fired up, and it was something.
Well, you know what's funny about that whole night at the Hersher Cup, when we went to Brownie's restaurant, we're sitting there, and all of us coaches, assistant coaches, I mean, it was all of us coaches, GMs and everybody, we're all sitting there. We had like this couple tables together, and they had like this salad bar, little more than a salad bar in the middle, and then you got your food, and then there's like this little dance area, and then there's like the outside or whatever where you come in, the entranceway, I should say. So we're kind of in the back, and we have the whole place to ourselves, so it's all these hockey people and, you know, meeting some St. Louis moms that were there without their husbands, and there's a couple of them that were, you know, on the risque wearing outfits that they could pull off, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, you know, but their parents, you know, whatever, they weren't really sitting by us or anything. And I remember Jack saying, yeah, these are, you know, our parents, and, you know, Peoria had their parents. We had some of our parents, and not to say that, you know, they were better than ours, because that's not what I'm saying. But there was a gentleman that went up to these St. Louis parents' moms and started to flirt, and they're like, get away. And one thing led to another, you know. The women were feeling violated. Well, Flags and Lunar, and I didn't know anything about it because Kinsey and I are telling jokes. We're making everybody laugh and everything. And lo and behold, within 10 seconds, it was a brawl. I mean, it was a war. And I remember I went outside, and this is it. I walk outside because I knew the fight. I knew Lunar and Flags were out there, and I knew, you know, Lunar being with the Edmonton Oilers, he was pretty much a fighter there. That's why he was in the NHL. And Flags is like 6'5", 6'4", 6'6", whatever. I mean, he's a mountain of muscle. And so I go out there. You know, I'm 6 foot, and I'm the smallest guy out there. And I'm probably all the wiry was. And I'm like, what's going on, you know? And I see Lunar holding this guy down, going, okay, on the count of three, I'm going to let you get up, and we're done fighting. All right? I got these new white, granted, we're hockey players, so he's got a white suit on to be funny. You know, can't wear white in winter, plus he's hockey. He goes, I'm going to tell you something. If I let you up on the count of three, and you try something, you get something on my suit, you're a dead man. And that guy goes, okay, because he just knocked him out, basically. I mean, Lunar's a big boy. And he was a fighter. I mean, he born and bred fighting his whole life. So he goes, okay, one, two, three, and let's go. The guy, and the guy swings and hits him and got like all this snow sludge on his suit.
Oh, boy.
Lunar went ballistic.
Yep.
That's the part of the story people don't know. And he pounded this guy, and all he kept saying after every punch, got my suit dirty, bam. I got my suit dirty, bam. Got suit dirty, bam. Got suit. He wasn't even mad about getting hit. He was mad that his suit was getting dirty. And Flags is over there, and he just wrangled this guy and snapped his ankle. I mean, just blew this guy's ankle right out. Ended up being the mayor's son.
Oh,
so we come back in, and all I see is the salad bar is cleared off. I got Jack being the head coach for St. Louis laying there getting stitches put in because Doc's there putting stitches in because he's a dentist, but he knows how to do stitches. So he's putting stitches in. Everybody's trying to be somebody else. Kinsey's over there, Mr. International again, going, you know, making jokes of everything, going, oh, you know what? Like Kinsey says, you know, I can't punch, but my stick will kill you, you know? So that's what he would always say. He goes, you might beat me up, but my stick's going to kill you. And so he goes, yeah, you know, and it just got all heated in there. And like I said, you were inside, but I ended up going outside with that. But Lunar, it was the funniest thing. So everybody gets all done. I know we get in the bus. I'm missing some of the story too, but we get on the bus. And this guy is limping over with a broken ankle, ended up being the mayor's son, pounding on the bus, and Carl's over there. This is a federal bus, a federal offense. You can't touch this bus. And guy sticks his arm out, and he goes, I'm telling you what, you better get your arm out. I'm going to take off. Next thing you know, he takes off with the guy running with a broken ankle.
With his hand through the door.
The hands through the door, trying to keep up with, and Carl's gunning it. Now, I know a bus is going to 0 to 60 in about an hour, but still, the guy has a broken ankle. Like, it's not even, it's like just wiggling back and forth. That's how busted it is. I don't know what was holding it on, probably skin.
Didn't Carl have a knife, too?
Yeah, he had a knife. He's wanted to stab him. As he's driving down the road, he's trying to stab this guy. And then we're sitting there with St. Louis parents, Toledo parents, Peoria parents, and Chicago parents, and coaching staff all on this bus because we're trying to have this meeting. And this is still going on. Oh, and here, no one knew how the fight started. And then, Peoria said, yeah, they were hitting on St. Louis parents, and we told them to knock it off. And then that's what it was. It was Grand Rapids. It wasn't Chicago because Flags was there.
Yeah.
So it was Grand Rapids, us, St. Louis, Peoria. Okay. Those are the final four. Yeah, okay. So then we're sitting there, and they were talking about, the women were getting hit on, and they're, fancy dressed or whatever. And I was like, yeah, but you don't go hit on them. And I couldn't understand that. And that was just, it really worked in the brotherhood of hockey that it didn't matter if you're, whoever you played for, you always have somebody on your, on your side, got your back kind of thing. Because we all defended the St. Louis parents, the moms. They weren't doing anything. Mm-hmm. No matter what they look like or what they're doing, you still don't treat women that way.
I was going to say, if they say no, that means no.
Yeah, well, we had to make sure they knew what no meant. So then we had to go to court for this. So we go to this court. We get all flown back. We all drive. Actually, Kinsey and I, well, no. I had to go by myself because Kinsey wasn't in the altercation. So I got to go to court. Flags, Lunar, and I are in court. And we're sitting there because Jack didn't have to go. I don't think Jack went because I don't know how he got stitches. Did somebody stab him or something?
I don't remember what happened.
Or somebody fought. I know they were fighting inside, but the fight was outside where I was.
Yeah. All I know is that he had, I don't know if he got hit with something, but all I know is that he ended up on the table in the back in the kitchen.
And we didn't even get to eat yet.
No.
We didn't get to eat. We had to go somewhere else to go get something to eat.
And so I see him getting stitched, and we're back there cracking jokes while he's getting stitched.
Yeah.
I went back there to check on Jack. And him and me and Doc Runko and I can't remember who else was back there. There was a bunch of us that were walking. They're walking around just cracking jokes, ripping on them, making fun of them, saying, hey, order up, that kind of stuff, while he's back there, gosh, I'm trying to remember what else. I remember when they were coming towards the bus, Lunar, Kevin Loon, for those of you that don't know, he was coaching Peoria back then, the Mustangs. And Lunar would, he grabbed one of the guys and said, you want some more? And the guy said, no, I'm good. It was the guy that Flags fought. He's the one that got through and went to the bus.
Right.
But I saw I was there when Lunar stopped the other guy.
Yeah.
And was gonna. He said, I'll paraphrase and just say, he said, I'll feed you some more. And he called. He's like, no, man, I'm good. And didn't do any. He didn't do anymore. But like the other guy did. The other guy. I just remember seeing him.
Yeah, he came around and swung. I remember he swung at him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember. And I was just on the bus then. Saw it,
and then of course I still don't know how he got his hand through when the door closed and he was able to punch through.
Yeah,
but he did. But then I remember seeing Carl grabbed his knife and pulled his knife out, and I remember you going, "No, Carl, no, man, yeah. no." And Carl was like, I'm gonna get this blankety blankety blank, and stuff. And I can't say it without thinking, smiling, and laughing, but. Back then, it was like, oh, boy. It was like, holy crap. So we, he got, he was trying to drive with one hand and one foot and reaching across over, not really paying attention to his driving.
Oh, no, we were all over the road.
Yeah.
This was like a Blues Brothers movie.
It was just, and he's over there getting ready to try and stab this guy in the hand.
We're in all four lanes.
It was.
Driving down the road 40 miles an hour, 50 miles an hour.
It was a beautiful thing.
But anyways, we went to court on that. I got called in. I got summons to go to court. So we're sitting there, Eric Brown. They were trying to sue Eric, the establishment. So Eric, we were witnesses. So Lunar Flags and I think Flags and I drove together. So we're sitting there. Actually, we did drive together. So we're telling, we got this whole story made up that, you know, what happened, you know, make sure that, you know, because they threw the first punch. They went after the woman. So we knew we were safe there. Then we're thinking we're getting arrested. I mean, because when you have 6 hours, 8 hours to drive, you know, you went from, oh, nothing's going to happen to, oh, my God, it's going to be $1,000 fine. We're going to jail for life. You know, you just start thinking all this stuff. And then you believe in each other, and we're just like, nah. So we get to the courthouse, and the lawyer's, like, talking to us, hey, what happened? We told him, and he's like, okay. So he goes, I'm going to just say you guys are bouncers, and you work for the establishment. And we're like, okay. So that was the only story we knew what we were going to do to go in. So I'm on the stands first, and the first question is, how do you know, why were you in this establishment? I go, oh, you know, we're there for the hockey thing, and you know, on my off time, I help, you know, control, you know, bounce or whatever for, you know, Mr. Brown. They go, well, do you have a paycheck from Mr. Brown? Ever get a paycheck from Mr. Brown? And I knew I couldn't say I got paid under the table, because then that'd get him in trouble, which, you know, I never worked for the guy, and I went, no, I just do a volunteer. I go, I'm wealthy enough where I don't need money. I just want to get out of the house. And the guy goes, the judge looked at me, and he goes, why are you even here? And I go, I don't know. You guys summons me. And he goes, next. That was it. I wasn't even wealthy or anything. I wasn't even rich. This is the only thing I could think of on the stands. I was telling the truth, the whole truth, and lying through my, you know, behind. Because I didn't want Brownie to get in trouble, yeah. You know. And I was, you know, we were sticking up for it. It was funny. All of the teams were there except for the teams that, you know, the St. Louis people didn't have to be there, but all of us had to be. So then I remember Flags. He gets up there and goes, yeah, I'm same as him. And then they go to Lunar, and they didn't even get Lunar on the stands. So then we had to drive home. We drove 18 hours or whatever for 2 minutes of court, 5 minutes of talking to this lawyer, and I made something up, and we just stuck with that. Oh, that was it. God. I was just sitting there going, yep.
Oh, my God.
The day in the life of a coach.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I have hysterical. So many of these stories that just.
Well, I want to hear a few.
I remember driving on the bus. We're going up to go play Motor City. We're driving up 75 down. We were right by Woodhaven, that Ford plant there. Mm-hmm. And I remember there was a CB, you know, the busters have CB, and they said, warning, low plane looking to land. And we're sitting there, and the bus driver goes, oh, yeah, there's a plane that's going to be landing on 75. Lo and behold, it just missed the top of our bus and landed right behind us.
Oh, my God.
We almost got hit by a plane. Literally a bus on 75, we almost got hit by a plane. And it wasn't like a, you know, 747. It was one of those like crop dusters or twin. I'm not a plane guy, so don't call in and
But it's
say,
a smaller, it's a smaller bus.
Yeah, it was a smaller plane, but I mean, we almost got hit by a plane. I've never been in that situation driving on an expressway, almost getting hit by a plane head on. And it came out of nowhere because we're all looking. I mean, the whole bus was looking. Were you with us on that?
No, I don't think I was. No.
Because I remember Kinsey and I, he goes, wait, you know, and Kinsey was always, God damn, yeah. You know, he's always yelling, you know, pass the puck, catch up, pass, you know. And he's like, I can't believe it. And he's like, Jesus, look at that plane. And we all look and just, it felt like the tires were on the top of us. I mean, it was that close.
Wow.
I could see the guy, the whites of the guy's eyes. When he was coming,
yep.
That freaked me out. I was like,
Well, that was Kinsey for you. But you know what I remember too? Do you remember at practice when Ryan Bond was trying, I think, to wrap a puck around the boards?
Oh yeah.
And he caught Kinsey.
Caught Kinsey in the face with a stick.
And
he shot him. He shot the puck and hit him.
Yeah, hit him with the puck.
Yeah.
And Kinsey, I can't say what he said, but he dropped an F bomb and he's like. I'll say freak.
Yep.
And Bondo was in his doghouse for a while. because, I mean, that stung him.
He kept hitting him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, what the hell? You know, you got to pay attention. You can't be shooting where the... That's the one thing I hate is when you're sitting there. I kind of stand in the same area all the time, mm-hmm. so kids know. I don't like to float around, so if there are plays, they're not just guessing where to shoot the puck, so they know that, hey, don't shoot it this way. And once in a while, they don't think, and that's when I know your head's down and you're not thinking. Your hockey IQ is at zero. Mm-hmm. I bring it out to them. But, yeah, I remember there's – I don't even know where you want to go with stories.
Go for it.
I don't.
Just go. See where it takes you.
Well, no, I'm trying to think how to clean them up. Like, I remember Burry?
Yeah, Eric Burry.
Eric Burry that – all the girls used to love. He was Mr. GQ. He had the hair. Every girl, every city had another girl. I mean, he had all the concession girls would all be after him and stuff. Oh, yeah. That was just funny that, you know, like these kids these days try to get away with, you know, they think they're smart that, you know, they can get a girl in the hotel and everything like this. I'm like, listen, this guy Barry he was the professional. He made me second guess myself a lot of times as a coach.
Because he was a captain, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was one of our captains. He was a hell of a hockey player. I don't know whatever happened. I know he went to go play college, but I don't know what happened after that. But he, you know, because those were starting, you just started to get cell phones. Mm-hmm. So there was no backup or whatever, and then we got a new phone. If it didn't back up, you lose phone numbers in the beginning. So there was no texting, you know, because that's when it kind of started. But I remember going to his hotel room, and I tell this story because it's probably the cleanest one I got, that the girls, that you know, knocking on the door, and him and Bujacki, remember
Dan Bujacki?
Dan Bujacki.
Yep.
Dan Bujacki would yell at me, oh, this funny story, I know I'm switching. He would come up and say, Coach, I quit. Well, you say, effing quit. I go, why? I'm not conditioning. You're bagging me. I quit. Then he'd come out and he'd, all right, I don't want to quit. Every practice, he quit. every time I had to, okay, line up on the line or on the blue line, red line, he knew when it was starting to skate, he'd get off the ice, I quit. I'm like, okay. I said, you know, I'm going to trade you to like no man's land. I just quit hockey. I go, just because you can't skate for 5 minutes, he'd walk away and we'd all sit there and wait for him. Then he'd come back on the ice. No, I'm not going to quit. I hate this part. And I go, well, you know, I hate it too. I hate when you quit all the time. So, but anyways, him and Bujacki, Burry and Bujacki always had stayed together because they're on the line. And they were the better looking ones, or at least always picked up girls.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yep.
And I knock on their door, and Bujacki opens it up with the chain on. He's like, hello, opening up the door like they're sleeping. And I just heard the noise. Kinsey and I just heard noises. So I was sitting there, and I went, hey, open up the door. I got to see what's going on, see if everybody's in the room. Oh, we're all in here. We're sleeping. And I'm looking at my clock going, it's not even 11 o'clock yet. Curfew's at 11. Come on. Open up the door. I go, where's Burry? Oh, he's in the bathroom. Hang on, coach. And all I hear is, shh, hang on. You know, all this whispering going and everything. And you hear the door shutting this and that. And then he opens up. He's like, got the sleeper in his eyes. Yeah, he's in the bathroom. I go, well, where's, I don't know, your other line mate. Oh, he went to go get ice or something. I go, and the door chain is on? What, are you locking him out? And he's like trying to think of being smart because, you know, kind of playing detective here. And I'm no detective, but, you know, kind of can add one plus one. So then I'm like, all right, I'll just wait until Burry gets out of the bathroom. And I'm saying this loud enough. And I go, Kinsey, you want to go get us a soda while we just sit here and wait? He goes, oh, sure, I'll go in there. And then you hear this girl goes, well, hang on, I got to get my clothes on. And I was like, God, Burry sounds different. I go, what's wrong with Burry? And Bujacki goes, oh, he's really pinching one, coach. It's really got his voice going. That was his answer to me. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how stupid do you think we are? You know there's girls in there. And I'm sitting there, next thing you know, they flush the toilet. He must have done it like 2-3 times. And then I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, how are they going to get out of this? Because I know there's no window. Next thing you know, he opens up the door, just slithers out, and I'm like, hey, you okay in there? He's like, yeah, I really had a big one there, Coach. Sorry. And I go, I thought you were sleeping. I was trying to keep quiet. And I go, boy, you were really hitting some high notes. And I go, well, man, what's weird? And Kinsey's over there looking at the door, not even talking, just looking at the door. And he goes, I don't smell anything. And I'm like, oh, my God. He goes, open that door. I don't smell anything. You're having all these problems. There should be a scent. I'm like, oh. I mean, you can tell we're not really professional detectives here. Oh. So open up the door, and there's three girls in there. And I'm like, all right, you guys got to leave. And they're like, the one girl goes, did you know we were in here? Yeah, the whole time. And they go, how did you know? Because no one goes to bed at curfew before curfew. They're always 5 minutes, a half an hour late. They're never half an hour early. I said, there's your number one dumb part as a hockey player. Don't ever be early for check-in because coaches know something's up.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's one of my funny ones.
Oh, my gosh. That right there was worth it.
I remember we were driving around on a bus and, you know, with GPS,
yeah,
we are lost. And we have to back up. And we're on the side of a mountain up in Traverse City for conditioning. Mm-hmm. We're on the side of a hill, not a mountain. Sorry. And the craziest thing is we get stuck. And the bus driver wants us to push the bus for conditioning. And I said, you know what? This is day one of conditioning. We push this bus and get out. We won't have to go conditioning. We'll just go on Lake Michigan and swim the whole time, or Lake Superior, whichever one. I think we're
closer to Michigan.
Yeah, we were in Michigan, Lake Michigan. So all I know is cold. That's all I remember. Mm-hmm. So we end up pushing that bus out of the rut or whatever. All these kids, I had like 25 kids and, you know, coaches and everything. I mean, we got this bus unstopped. Are stuck and I remember the bus driver goes, yeah, I would have got fired. That would have been my last. I'm on two strikes right now. That would have been my third strike, and I'm sitting there going, oh, great, you're with us the whole weekend. This is fun. I always, why do I get all these guys that are on their last leg? You know, and they never get somebody happy-go-lucky. But, yeah, there's been a bunch of stories, like for the junior stuff with the Cherokees. These are all with the Cherokee stuff that I'm telling you.
Yeah, that's the fun. That's what makes hockey what it is.
My favorite one was Kinsey and I, you know, all the girlfriends, wives, we first and parents go to Grand Rapids. I don't, as a head coach and Kinsey as the assistant, but us coaches don't make any reservations for where we stay. We don't make any reservations where we're going to eat. Everything's all set up and taken care of for us. That was Mike Robinson, I think, did all that. Or Chris LeMay, or Chris Reniger did all that, I think. I don't really know.
She usually handled the reservations.
Okay, so she did this. So we get to this hotel, and it's a nice hotel. We go in there. We drop all we make our reservations. We just stopped there. Didn't get out. Mike did everything. Jumped in. Then we went to the rink and then, you know, stretched out, warm up, played the game, come back to our hotel. And Mike's talking this hotel. This hotel is nice. You know, it's got, I think it's like Holiday Inn. But it was a glorified, I mean, it was super nice. It's like, yeah, you have your own office room, you know, you have your living room, and then you have your bed area. I'm like, man, these rooms have got to be big. And I'm like, we're thinking all these things are, you know, this is going to be beautiful. I mean, it's our first time in juniors. I'm like, man, they treat you right here. You don't get paid for crap, but at least you get taken care of. So we're sitting there. So we go, Kinsey and I, we go in after our game, and we walk in. And we're driving up, and all you see is this big, bright lights of red and white and blue just flickering on and off. Everything's going on, and we're getting closer and closer. And it's right by this mire, and then you go right to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were there.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, and cops, ambulance, everything's going on, fire department. And I'm like, Kinsey and I mean, everybody's like, somebody got murdered. I'm like, oh, my God, somebody. Kinsey and I are thinking the same thing. I mean, I've never seen 20 cop cars, 20, you know, place caught on fire. Somebody's dead. We're thinking somebody died. So we're sitting there, and they're like, hey, we had a hotel reservation. What's going on? They go, oh, they had a little mishap. You know, you guys can go check in. Mind you, I have like 14-year-old boys to 21, I believe, 20 or 21. So I have some guys that can legally drink, but they're not supposed to. And I have 14-year-olds, and they're still pretty young, you know. So we walk in, and out comes these medical EMT guys. I got to say this with a clear voices. They come rushing out of the elevator, right through the lobby, and this guy's face down with his butt in the air. And he, do you remember this?
No,
his
I don't.
Butt is in the air, and he's screaming in pain, and he's crying, and he's like, help me. I mean, just, and I'm like, this guy's dying. I didn't even know what the hell's going on. I mean, he didn't see anything because it's under like blankets and stuff. I'm like, what's going on? Right after that, there's like four cops that are just crying, laughing. The whole time, I'm like, what are you laughing at? Like, what's going on? He goes, oh, he was sitting on a mechanical bull with like a seat helper thing, and it broke off in his butt. I go, I looked at Kinsey. I could not stop laughing. And I was like, this is my first day, and these kids are all looking. And here it was, the National Swingers Convention was held there. And I was like, what the hell? We get in our rooms? It's a room. One bed for Kinsey and I. And I'm like, what? You don't even get two beds? And Mike's telling me this. And Mike goes, well, that's what they told me. I go, we don't get paid and we get shitty reservations. This is horrible. So, but that was like our first night on the road, our overnight. I will never forget that. And there was more to it. Because in breakfast time, the swingers came down. They don't wear anything.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember that when we were sitting eating in breakfast?
And they're I vaguely remember
they would wear like a men's dress shirt without it buttoned up and just everything. And no one was a supermodel.
Exactly.
No one was hot.
Nobody cared.
And I'm sitting there going, and all these, and you know, these 14-year-old kids are going, oh. I'm like, oh my God, please don't tell your mom and dad. Please don't tell your mom and dad. Please don't tell your mom and dad.
Because the thing I remember too on that trip, we went somewhere for dinner that night after. I think we were getting ready to leave or something. And I don't know if it was that trip to Grand Rapids or if it was another, but you were there. And the bus took off without me.
Yeah.
Because we made a stop somewhere, like a pit stop. And I went to use the bathroom and everything, and I was the last one out. And the bus started leaving. And I'm looking over, I'm like, what the hell? And so I don't know if I called somebody, if I called you guys, or what. But I think eventually you guys realized it was like about 10-12 minutes. The bus comes rolling around back. And I just remember I was like, we were outside. I think we were outside the Meijer or something.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there.
That was the only place we could eat.
Yeah. Was Meijer.
Everything was closed. So we had to eat everything out of the deli department, which is closed. So it's.
Just grab and go.
And the kids ate everything. I had a bag of chips that night. Mm-hmm. That was all I ate.
And I just was sitting there like this,
sitting
there with a goofy look on my face. I think I pulled my pant legs up and was trying to show a little leg or something just to be a smart aleck. And, oh, my God, man. I mean, man. But that was, like I said, those were some of the crazier times that we had. And that was just life on the road back then.
Remember when we had to play Cincinnati in the snowstorm coming back home?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're driving down on a bus. Another horror bus story. We're driving, and the bus driver goes, you know what? I can't see anything on my windows, because we couldn't see. I couldn't understand. I go, are we still on the expressway? He goes, I don't know. It just stops in the middle of the expressway.
Was that Gene?
Yeah, Gene. He gets out and starts cleaning off the bus. And cars are swerving all over. I mean, I'm like, dude, we're going to get hit. We're in like the second lane, the middle lane of a three-way lane highway. And I'm thinking, we're going to die. This guy's dying. First of all, this guy's dead. Second of all, we're going to get in a bad accident. How do I get out of this? As a team, as a coach, I'm trying to protect my team. I'm like, you know, get on the bus. I'm yelling and get on the bus. He goes, we're fine. Like, so, you hear all these screeching and everything. People sliding. Accidents are all over. Gets on the bus. Just take off. We're fine until we get to Dayton. And then all of a sudden, it cleared up. He goes, God. I told you. I know what I'm doing. I'm like, you just caused like five accidents over there. He goes, oh, we're not one. We're good. I'm like, oh, okay. Sounds good. Maybe they're dead, but we're not. I guess that's fine. You know?
Oh, my God. Gene was the guy who I credit with helping cure my fear of flying.
Oh, my God. I know.
Because of the way he drove a bus. Because I think we were in Nationals one time. I think we were in Hartford. And he tried to turn around an island and backed up over it, ended up smoking a U.S. mailbox.
Yeah.
And, wiped out a mailbox. We're fine. All he was worried about was the little dent in the little dent on the bus.
Yeah.
And other than that, we're fine. Off we go.
Yeah. He frightened me for bus trips, too. I mean, he had one. He goes, hey, because we love Friday night after practice to go to St. Louis, which was a 10-hour bus trip, was scheduled a 10-hour bus trip. And, you know, that's going the speed limit on the GPS, and it's going to take you 10 hours. He goes, yeah, just sit back, guys, relax. You know, we're gonna get there. And I said, well, we got to be there by, like, 10 o'clock for check-in. He goes, we'll be there by 10 o'clock. So we all fall asleep. Next thing you know, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. He's waking everybody up. Oh, we're here. I'm like, we're here where? I go, you knocked off 4 hours. How's that possible? Oh, we're here. And I said, okay. So we get out, and I'm like, yeah, this is a hotel. We're here, you know. So then we walk out, and all of a sudden, you know, reservation for Toledo Cherokees. You don't have any.
Oh, God.
I'm like, this is St. Louis, right? No. I'm like, where are we? She goes, St. Louis is another 4 hours that way. Everybody back in the bus. Just woke up all the kids.
Oh, my
God. So we get back on the bus. So we get in. And he goes, I don't know who. You guys must have been screwing around with my GPS. I'm like, yeah, that was us. So then we get there, and he's all bent out of shape. He was bitching and moaning the whole time, and he kept going. And we got there in like 2 hours. He was going like 120 miles an hour. Because I go, how fast are we going? He goes, the speedometer doesn't go as far as I got the pedal going. And I'm looking, going, well, it says 120, and I don't see the speedometer, so I don't know how fast we're going. But I was like, well, whatever. So we get there in 2 hours, and we're sitting there, and it's before 10 o'clock, and the girl goes, oh, yeah, you guys are here. You made great time, and you know, but now you guys got to wait an hour because check-in is at, like, 10:30. And Gene's all pissed off at us because we got there too fast. And I go, now we got to wait. So we're all laying around the lobby waiting with all our hockey equipment. So, yeah, he was always mad at somebody in our organization. He's like, well, this is your direction. So I'm like, I don't even know where we were. I don't even know what city we ended up. And I'm like, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. How do we knock off 4 hours? Then I realized, well, we're nowhere near where we're supposed to be.
I remember the one time we were playing in Peoria, and I think it was for Hurster, but because they had like basketball playoffs or something for the state, it was in Peoria that weekend. So we ended up staying in a hotel, like literally, I think 45 or...
Yeah, I remember that.
Hour away.
We had a long drive.
Yep. And
I was pissed.
Yeah.
Because my kids' legs are now, they're dead. Mm-hmm. When you're on a bus and go play, it doesn't work.
Nope. It's, yeah, you, I mean, 45 minutes at least, if not longer. And I think I can't remember what town we were. It was just some small dopey town. And we had to go over there and try and play. And it was just,
it was a nightmare.
Yeah, they usually are. Well, tell you what, before we wind her up here, I want to talk about too.
I got a ton of stories. I got funny ones.
Let's go.
No, come on, man.
We've got look.
Let's do that for another time.
But
do a story edition.
We can do that, but I'm loving this, man.
So before we wrap up, what?
Oh, you smart aleck. Anyway, I was just going to ask you to tell me what brought you to St. Francis.
Brian Kinsella, Kinsey. I was over at Adrian and helping with the youth program and so on, and Mike Reeder was with St. Francis, who passed away, and they're good friends. Played for Gold Diggers, you know. And one thing about sports, and maybe that people that listen to this podcast understand it a little more than people that are not haven't been on a team, but you form a brotherhood that, like I said, you don't have to like each other, but you're always there to protect each other. Even if other guys on other teams, you know, you played against, you don't like, but you know what? There's something there. And Kinsey was coaching with me at the Cherokee level, and he wanted to retire, wanted to quit. You know, he didn't want to do the traveling, you know, didn't want to do the recruiting anymore. Oh yeah, I gotta tell you stories about recruiting. But anyways,
Give me at least one.
So we're okay. So this is our first time. We're in Chicago. We went to Cubby Bears.
Okay.
It's a bar that we didn't know anything about it. It's a restaurant bar, whatever. Well, before it opened up, we go to this restaurant, and it's like a really upscale restaurant, and. Chuck said, yeah, you're allowed to use $50 a day for food. So we didn't buy anything, just thought we'd have good dinners all the time. We'd have, you know, so we go to a nice restaurant, get, you know, $20 dinner, whatever. So I'm always on the cheap side, so I can, you know, have a couple cocktails or whatever, and then I'll just have like a piece of, you know, a salad or something. So I, you know. So the lady comes up to me. She started naming off the specials, and she goes, "You know, we got a 2 meatball special." And I'm like, "Oh God, that's got to be $10." And you get a couple of drinks, and you know, I'll be good. And then we start talking, you know, recruiting. So this is all on the same night. So we're sitting there, and our bill comes. Oh, Kinsey got the steak, you know, whatever. His bill came out to be like $22. Mine was $28 just for my spaghetti and 2 meatballs.
Oh, my God.
And I sat there, and it wasn't anything big. It wasn't anything like I had softball meatballs or anything. I go, I thought that was a special. Oh, yeah, it's usually $32. I said, the steak dinner.
How do they do it?
I was looking at her, and I'm like, oh, my God. Now I got to pay for my alcohol. Thought I, damn it. So I had to get money out of my own pocket. I'm like, ah, blah, 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 blah. So I'm already pissed off, so to speak. So we go to Cubby Bears. That's where all the coaches are meeting, you know, because there's some skills thing, whatever. Because it's all set up, different weekends, different weeks. You can travel all week, and there's always somewhere you go, USHL and all or whatever. So we're at Cubby Bears, and we're sitting there, and one of these parents come up, and, you know, hey, do you like my son? I'm like, I don't know you, lady. I'm from Toledo. She goes, oh, I thought you were with those guys. I'm like, yeah, I am. We're all coaches from different teams, you know. And Kinsey was standing next to me, and she goes, oh, you guys don't know how to drink. I'm like, what? And so now I'm pissed. I'm like, first of all, I'm pissed off that he didn't get my food, or it was expensive, for spaghetti.
For spaghetti, yeah.
He had steak dinner, which was a lot better than my spaghetti, and it was cheaper. Yeah. Okay. Now, it wasn't a filet mignon, but it was meat, potatoes, and a salad. I had just spaghetti and 2 little meatballs that were $20 a piece. That were made out of gold, I guess. I don't know. So anyways, I'm sitting there. And she goes, yeah, you don't know how to drink. I don't even know this lady. Never talked to her. And Kinsey goes, he goes to the lady, you don't know who you're talking to. That's all we do is drink. She's like, oh, yeah? Well, look at, I'm going to order, and she says, like, Long Island iced tea. And I go, yeah? She goes, top that. And I go, give me that bottle right there in the back. I'm buying the whole bottle. And then Kinsey and I just drank it right in front of her. And she's just like, oh. And I go, and Kinsey, mind you, we're numb now.
Of course.
Okay. And Kinsey goes, yeah, don't ever tell us how to drink. Now we got to walk back. It's been like a half an hour. And granted, the bottle wasn't full. It was, you know, half, whatever. So we're sitting there, and we're trying to walk back. And Kinsey goes, I got to pee. And I'm like, I go, well, yeah, Mr. International, that's going to take you 3 hours to get through that thing. You know, so we're joking around, and this lady's just staring at us because we're like planted our butts in the chair, and we still got to meet with these people. We don't know anybody yet. So we sit there and finally make it to the bathroom. I mean, it wasn't that bad. You know, maybe I'm making it more horrific than what it was. So then we're sitting there. We walk back, and we're sitting there. And the first thing the coaches all say to us go, hey, Toledo guys okay? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, man, you guys are sweating a lot. I'm like, holy. I go, yeah, we just had to outdrink this lady. And they're like, what are you doing? I go, oh, told us she could drink more than we can, so we shut her up. So then we're all sitting there, and we're drinking. Lunar, don't know who Lunar is. They're up on the, there's a band singing, and they're singing Jack and Diane from
John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah. So he gets up, he's yelling the whole time. And there was a raffle that night that you could win a mountain bike that was just like coming out. I don't know what kind, Huffy, I don't know, Schwinn, whatever. And Lunar ends up winning the bike raffle, riding around this bar in this bike. I don't even know this guy. We're going, this guy's an asshole. You know, this guy's, you know. And he's riding this bike. He gets up on stage yelling at the people. They don't know how to sing the song because he's pretty well tipsy, too.
Of course.
Starts singing. He's got this bike. He lifts his bike up with one hand. He's a big guy, let me tell you. He's a big guy. And just throws it and smashes the bike. He goes, I'm not taking back that thing back to Peoria. He goes, I got a little Chevette. I'm like, you're as big as a house, and you're driving a Chevette? He goes, great gas mileage. Great gas mileage. I go, you know, you get better on that bike. And he's like, yeah, whatever. Just smashed the bike. Just smashed it. And yelling at these people. Security comes. We all get kicked out. We go to this after hours bar. Lunar goes, hey, of course, his name was Kevin to me back then because I didn't know him as Lunar. Yeah. So, but Lunar goes, hey, come back with me. And there's a bar, an after hours bar. You know, it's called the King's Mind. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds good. He goes, so opens up at 3 a.m. I'm like, all right, I'm three sheets to the wind. We drop off Kinsey. So we're driving. He goes, yeah, there it is. See it on the horizon? I go, yeah. And it's like all lit up. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome. I go, I got to get some sleep because I got to go recruit these kids tomorrow morning, you know, and I got to talk to these parents and stuff. So we're driving this all the same night. So we're all driving. He goes, yeah, here it is. I open up my eyes. I look. It says entrance. Chicago Police Department, whatever. And I'm like, we're going to a police station? He goes, I got the wrong directions. The cops are all over us. We have been drinking all night long. And I'm like, now we're getting arrested for DUIs, all this. So he gets out of the car and he starts talking to this cop. And I'm like, oh, he's getting arrested. How am I going to get home? I don't know anybody's phone number except Kinsey. I don't even know where I'm at. And I'm sitting there. Next thing you know, the cop goes, yeah, you just turn down there, and there you go. And he goes, have a great day, sir. I'm like, Lunar gets back in the car, and he's like, man, these cops are really nice. You just sign an autograph or something, and then they just let you go. I'm like, what the hell are you doing? So we go to this bar. It's 3 in the morning. He goes, yeah, this is supposed to be a lot of hot chicks are here. I'm like, okay. There wasn't one chick there. It was all dudes. And I think we're in a gay bar. And he goes, yeah, I think so, too. And I'm like, can we leave? He goes, well, we need a drink. And I go, I don't want to drink in here. Come on, dude. We got to go. And then we ended up drinking. Actually, it was a pretty fun night watching these guys dance. I was like, I'm not a dancer. So I'm like, whatever. We ended up leaving. But, oh, I mean, that was just, the whole night was crazy. That was my first night, you know, recruiting and scouting. I never went to bed all weekend. Because then the next night we did went back to Cubby's Bears, and that was a whole big thing there that night.
Good night.
But like I said, I have there's so many stories, but I'm trying to clean them up, and I'm leaving a lot of things out because a lot of things don't. You know, I don't think anybody wants to hear about some of the stuff.
No, I beg to differ. That's actually probably the thing everyone loves about this are the stories. But you know.
Yeah, but Kinsey got me into it. Called me up. Yeah. And said, hey, I've been your assistant coach for, you know, 10, 12 years, whatever it was. You know, can I need you to be my assistant? And I was like, yeah. I mean, I would never tell him no.
Yeah.
He never told me no. We've never gotten an argument. I don't know if I ever gotten an argument with any of my coaches, whether I had to let you go or fire you or I've been let go. I never argued because I feel like, we all have a say. Mm-hmm. And just because I'm the head coach doesn't mean that it's my way because I make mistakes. And you know what? There's times where you don't make the mistake and you're right. You know, your direction might be quicker, faster, easier, whatever. So
how much of that is through, I think, maturing? I mean, in other words, you've gone through and you've taken your lumps. And as you get older, you realize, yeah, you know. Maybe. You know,
a lot of people are set in their ways. Mm-hmm. You know, like husband and wives, you look at him, you know, this is, I do my five things. She does her five things. This is what makes the house work. But I'm more or less like, you know, sometimes I do three things. You do, you know, seven things, or I do seven things. You do three things. It's still going to get where it's still going to come out the right way. My biggest thing is maturity. I don't know. I'm still immature in the brain because I'm always joking and making jokes, like I said, even with, like, because Kinsey and I still brought that and made Mike Marciniak just laugh all the time. We made the kids either they laughed with us or laughed at us, but we did it for a reason, to make them laugh. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that way we knew when we could get on them and yell at them that they would listen and they knew we were serious. And, you know, like Dyer says, oh, are you going to give me the Kinsey speech or are you going to do, you know, the Dyer speech? Dyer thinks he only talks for 30 seconds, then he's done, but he talks forever too. And it's not a bad thing. It's just you get excited and passionate about what you want to do. I just want to learn. I that's how I know the fire's still in me. I want to learn from different coaches. That's why I don't argue with them. You know, let me see your way. Let me hear your way. And you know, you want to do a drill. You know, I have Derek Booth come out and help us out, you know, during the summer or whatever. And Eric Douglas, you know, that, you know, Mike Natashak, you know, Gordy Hunt's out there, you know. And I try to get all these people that played at a higher level, run a drill or two. And it's a different voice. And kids like that. They don't like the same, you know. They don't like to go to, you know, whatever Mr. Smith's class, algebra's class, because he talks in the same way all day long, 5 days a week, you know, month after month. They're done. I mean, at the end of the year, like, I'm glad I'm done with that class. Granted, you have good days and bad days in that class, but the voice is still the same. And I think variety helps because maybe I don't explain it. You know, you and I will see the same UFO in the sky, but we'll have two different ways of how to explain what we saw. But yet we saw the same thing at the same moment, same time. And that's how I look at it as, I'm not saying anything about UFOs. I'm just saying there's something. Okay, yeah. But there's different direction, Dyer, Kinsey, myself, other coaches, you know. And when I usually let people go is because I don't understand. They're not explaining anything. They're not helping. It's not me. It's the kids. I don't care what you think you look like. It's are you helping the kids. You know, I tell you to do something, you do it. You tell me to do something, you know, I do it. So, you know, if I say, hey, let's do this, this, and this, and you were out there doing, you know, some flippy, floppy shots, and I'm like, you know, throwing the puck around with your hand, which, why are we doing this? You know, we're spending time out on the ice. You know, we can do this off the ice. You know, there's a common sense thing. So I think the maturity is, you know, with the knowledge that I know now, I'm writing this thing on the side. I don't know if it's a book or what it is, but it's kind of like little notes here. And I've talked to, I'm trying to find out how does an athlete become great in their sport? You know, not as a person in life every day as a human being, but in a sport. And I've talked to, I got 30 years of references and stuff. And, you know, I talked to Joe Frazier before he passed away and when we were in Nationals in Philadelphia and Tarsha was there. And I talked to him and I picked his brain. How did you become a great fighter? And I don't care if you won or lost or down goes Frazier, down, you know, Howard goes out. I'm not worried about that. What made you get to that? I mean, that you're the at one time you were the best in the world, you know. I mean, you fought the best in the world. How do you get there? You have to be great to just get there. You know, he just talked to me about, you know, determination and, you know, he really did it for his kids and, you know, and he wasn't a really big, I was taller than him and I'm like, man, saw him on Wide World, ABC Wide World of Sports, he looked bigger than life to me. And here I'm eating lunch with him at a hotel restaurant, a Holiday Inn in Philadelphia. Just walked in. That's where we were staying. I walked in. I went, hey, you Joe Frazier? And he's like, hey, come sit down. I'm like, oh, I'm the hockey coach. You know, he knew we were with the hockey team. He's like, well, what do you do? A hockey coach. Oh, I don't know anything about hockey. I'm like, you're Joe Frazier. And he's, yeah. And I just started picking his brain. And I talked to Jerry Rice. I talked to a bunch of NHL guys. You know, I talked to Wayne Gretzky. I talked to, like, what did you do? What's behind the scenes that made you? And I wrote all this down, and I started last Sunday was the first time that I zeroed in on these 11, 12 things. This is what makes every single one of these athletes and all these different sports to be great, and they all have these 12 things. And that's how I know that's what you have to do to become great. I won't give you that answer because a lot of people want it. This is for myself. This is what I've learned. And now people can argue, but I mean, I have all these references from all these great, and I'm still trying to talk to these great players. You know, and how many people have I talked to that weren't that great? They were just average, you know, major league players, but they made it to the show. Mm-hmm. You know, what made you there? Because all these kids never actually try to be the best. They just say, I'm going to play in the NHL. So there's different levels of NHL.
Yep.
You know, you're either the best or you're the last one on the pulling tone. It doesn't matter. You're still there. And I was more towards the bottom. I was never the best. So I learned from myself and my mistakes what I can teach these kids. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think I learned to be a little patient. During games, I don't have time to be patient because you have like 5 seconds before, you know, your next group of guys. So, you know, your next line out or whatever, and then the play goes, and then you got to hurry up and, you know, whatever. So my answer, you know, in the nutshell is, you know, you just got to go with your gut feeling a lot. And you got to – I've been in so many situations that I'm creative enough to know how to get these kids out of it or help them in those situations. And that's just by experience.
Do you have a favorite, I mean, obviously being a coach on multiple state championship teams,
yeah.
Do you have a particular favorite?
Favorite team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not going to tell me.
You know, it's... You know, the thing that got me the most was when Kinsey, because we already won a ring, we won together as coaches, and I was sitting there, and Mike Marciniak, you know, and I always tease him, and we talk about this story. Actually, last week I brought it back up to him. I bring it up to him a lot, and I sat there, and our first year, Kinsey was a head coach, but I ran the practices. I love running practice. I want to run practice. Now that I'm the head coach, I'd like one of my assistants to run practice so I can do a lot of what he did. But it just doesn't work out. I, for some reason, I still got to run practice. And it's not a thing. I always ask my assistants, hey, do you want to run a drill tonight? And oh, yeah. And I'm like, you want to do two? No, I got one. That's good. I'm like, okay, thanks for the one. Then what they do is like, oh, it's one I mean, there's nothing new? Come on. You know, I'm always telling them, I'm trying to broaden the horizons.
Yeah.
But, you know, I sat there with Mike, and I said, I skated around one time, and Kindy was yelling. I know he was yelling at somebody, and because it made me not talk, and I wasn't listening, because it was, kid did a bonehead thing. And I went up to Mike, and he was on the bench, and he's just sitting there, and I skated up to him, and I said, you know, how many times you guys win states? He said, none. Well, how long have you been here? He goes, I don't know, 30 years or whatever, 25 years. I go, this school's never won a championship in hockey? No. I said, huh. I go, I don't know the history of this school. My brother graduated from there, but I don't know the history of it. You know, as a coach, you'd think I'd look that up, but I never did. So I kind of skated off my life. So I remember Kinsey got mad again. It didn't take much to get Kinsey pissed, you know, because he expected perfection. He was a perfectionist, mm-hmm. You know. You pass here, the reason why is 1, 2, 3. I'm the opposite. Hey, get the puck there. You know, he was more of a polish, you know. You get the puck there because of this or that or whatever. I'm like, you get the puck here because we're trying to score. That's you know, so we little different coaching. But I remember skating around when Kinsey got mad, and I said, Mike goes, why do you ask how many championships do I have? And I go, man, I'm telling you, if you ever win a ring, you want to win another one. I said, they're addicting. I said, I've never had anything more addicting in my life. That's why I'm still coaching. And he's like, he's like, no, he goes, I got a ring for playing, you know, at Michigan State. He was a starter, you know, for Michigan State back in the day and played football for them. And I was like, oh, you win the Super Bowl or Rose Bowl or, you know, because that's what the big one. He goes, no, we're in it. We lost to Illinois with Dick Butkus was on that team and, you know, so on. And he goes, oh, but I've been there, you know, and he goes, never lost to Michigan. You know, we beat Michigan or whatever. That was his thing. And so I was like, oh, okay, because he bleeds green and white, you know, and what we were talking earlier about Big Ten teams and stuff. So I go, well, you know what, I'm going to stay here as long as I can to win you a ring, and then after that, I'm out. So in 11, we win, and my favorite team has to be my favorite moment was when we scored in overtime to beat Eds 2-1. I looked at Kinsey. I was on the far bench, far part of the bench because of where the forwards are at that time in overtime. Mm-hmm. I ran. Kinsey had his arm up and like gonna hug me, and I ran right past him and just went to Mr. M. And Kinsey then followed me. And I said, there you go. You won your ring. No matter what, they can't take this away from you. And I'm yelling this at him because it was so loud. And the fans were right there at Nationwide.
Oh, yeah.
And when people say, what's my favorite team? That was my favorite moment. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't about Kinsey. Wasn't about me. It was about somebody else. I was happy that we won the state championship for hockey, their first one. I was happy that Kinsey got to win one as a head coach because he won one with me when I was a head coach. So now I took the assistant role, so we each had that for each other. And I was happy for that. And then, you know, but Mr. M got his first one. And, you know, you remember most of those kids on the teams as years go on, they fade away and you don't see them anymore because you always think they're going to be together and you're going to come back and it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so that was probably my favorite team because of Mr. M. it wasn't necessarily the kids or the, it was just because Mr. M got to win something. And plus, I'm not taking away from anything from the kids, but I was talking as a coach, what meant for me was Mr. M. It wasn't me. I could care less about me. And that's how I live my life. I don't care. You can do whatever you want to me, say what you want, but you know what? I'm here for the right reasons. And the cool thing about that was when we won it in 15, I was the head coach, but the years before in 13, Kinsey retired and said, hey, I want you to coach St. Francis. I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm done. I can't stay in high school. We won them a ring. I promised them I'm leaving. I want to go coach college or juniors. I want to, you know, I got friends in the pros. I can help out, you know, practice squad. I'm trying to get my foot in the door. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And I go tell Mike Marciniak I drove in. He wants to meet at the locker room at TAMO. And I'm like, all right, you know, I'm walking in. I'm quitting. I'm out of here. It's done. I can't do this anymore. I can't. I want to recruit. I want to get my team. I want my players. I want to win championships. I'm going. This is what I'm doing. And I go in and I'm like, you know, hey, how's it going, Mike? Oh, you know, Kinsey left. We're going to look for a head coach. I'm like, yeah, about that. And he goes, well, you know, I just want you to know that you're our new head coach. And, you know, talk to Kinsey and he thinks you'll be a good fit and everything like this. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm honored because I'm still thinking in my mind. Yeah, thanks a lot. But see you. Bye.
Uh-huh.
I go, yeah, and you know, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And when do we start? That came out of my mouth, and I'm thinking the whole time, I'm leaving. And he looked at me, and he goes, I'm glad you're on board. And I go, I can't tell this guy no. I can't say no. And it was the best decision I've ever made, except
that you didn't want to make.
That I was gonna say no the whole time. I'm out. See you. Bye. I won you the one ring. Now it's your position to go try to win more. Go find, you do what you need to do. I gotta go do my own thing. And then when we won in 15, he goes, aren't you glad you stayed? And I go, I don't know how, whatever came out of my mouth was not what I was thinking. He goes, I know. He goes, coming back next year? I go, what? You know? And yeah. I go, yeah. And he goes, good. And then we won it this year. And I said, you know, after the win, the second one, I said, you have all these favorite memories about the game, behind the scenes, the jokes, the kids, the camaraderie, COVID, what you can and can't do, you know, where you can go, what you can't do, how to dress, can't take showers, you know, own water bottle, can't drive together, can't bus, can't do nothing. I mean, this year is one of the most memorable years because of so many can't do's or can't have you.
Extenuating circumstances.
It's mind-boggling how we were dodging bullets the whole year. Every team was. My biggest thing on top of that was I do have a favorite team, and I told that team, but that doesn't take away from any other team that I've ever coached. And, you know, everybody thinks it's the championship teams that win. It all started when I first started coaching, when we first started this podcast, that I had kids that didn't even know how to skate. And it took that to find something within myself that, hey, I wanna try this. I'm not gonna be any good at coaching. But at least I'm gonna be with kids and help them. They're not out doing drugs, you know. They're not out partying. They're not out, you know, getting pregnant and whatever. I mean, they want them to be there. And that, when I bring everything back, that's made me who I am, you know. And you know, people always say, oh, you cheat because you guys are so good. I said, no, I just have a formula. I said, you got to figure out my formula, and you're not with us, so you're never going to find out. You think you know, but you don't know, because your coaches would know what to do. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have down years where that doesn't matter what formula you have, because you still need talent. You still need drive. You know, those kids still need to work hard. You have a team that's just a bunch of young kids, and you're playing a bunch of seniors. They're just physically stronger. They're going to win. But you get, you know, same team versus same team, we'll win every time. You know, we will. And, you know, there's just a formula. And I don't know, the best part of hockey is I'm still alive today to keep doing it. I still get to smell the ice. I still, the locker room camaraderie, the talk, the jokes. Hey, coach, you know, you lost, and, you know, you owe me 10 push-ups. Because we always bet, you know, like bear crawls or push-ups or tie each other skates. I mean, those are our bets, and parents know, and they're laughing at it. Like, oh, because they, some, for some reason, when you lose, like the, like I bet on the Alabama,
National championship.
Yeah, I picked Clemson, and they got trounced this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do like bear crawls. For some reason, all the parents went to that practice to see the coaches do bear crawls.
So, imagine that.
So, or tie kids' skates or whatever. So, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's still fun to me. Coaching is fun. It's a lot harder now because kids, they don't think they have to work as hard. It's, everything's given. And I don't know how to break that in kids right now. Because back then, kids wanted to play. Now, I feel like parents are making some of the kids play.
Yeah, I have to agree. Now, before we wind her up, last thing. Of course, we're about nearly 3 hours into this, but
I hope you edit a lot of it out.
Not a chance.
Well, you can make it, you know.
Not a chance.
You can cut it down, part one, two, three.
I could, but I'm not going to. So,
next time we'll tell the funny side of hockey.
That's what I'm counting on.
Okay.
That's what I'm counting on. No, but
I got a bunch of those.
What? Tell me. Okay. I usually end each podcast.
Yeah.
With this, and that is, what would you like to say to Cherokee Nation? Because there are alumni. There are alumni coaches, alumni players, the kids that played for you, kids that are currently playing, kids that were there long before you or I,
mm-hmm.
that listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very fortunate. We're very fortunate that we got a pretty good following that listens to this. And, you know, it's just whatever's on your mind that you'd like to say to them.
You know, the former players, you know, and players that played for me, you know, and like last year's team, congratulations on the success you guys had.
Yeah.
You know, Kenny Ray did a great job developing that team all year and working them. I had former Knights on that team and, you know, Timmy Organ and stuff. But, you know, I follow them because I was part of that,
mm-hmm.
and I follow them religiously. You know, every team I've been a part of, that still is an organization, because I've been, you know, that I couldn't be more prouder of those guys. You know, I'm so excited that parents took a chance with Kinsey and I, that believed in us with their kids, you know, changing high schools across the state, Canada. We had European players, you know, we've had it all over. But, you know, it's just a great thing. I mean, what they're doing, it's just unbelievable. I mean, Searing as a coach, you know, I don't know all the coach, and Doc was there, and Dunk and Tarsha and Omi and our goalie coach.
Doug Elliott.
Doug Elliott was there. He was with RPI guy. He was just such a cool guy to me, to Kinsey. You know, how it all ended was one way, but I, you know, you can't, you know, I'm not going to dwell on the way how it ended, how it wasn't my fairy tale, but it's not supposed to be. It's a sport,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's cut and dry. Win, lose, you know, you don't win, you get fired or let go. If you win, or you lose, it doesn't matter, because I came in second, came home to no job, lost to St. Louis 5-4 down in Philadelphia.
I remember Philadelphia for another reason too. You remember Jared Siginek?
Oh yeah, Siggy and Lanciano from
they were from outside. He was He was from Lanciano was from Philly,
yeah,
and Siganuck was from New Jersey, right, just over the line.
Just over the line there.
And I just remember going over because I drove out there. I didn't ride the bus.
Right.
And I remember we went to dinner or something, and I come out to my car and Siganuck silly stringed it.
Yep.
Never admitted to it.
No, but it was him. He did. Like I said, there's plenty of stories, but you know, say hi to all those guys. You know, miss you. You know, I know we don't talk, and I know life gets in the way, but always remember, you know, I have you in my heart forever, like all the kids I've ever coached. You know, you forget names, forget places, but you remember teams. Mm-hmm. You know, you remember games, remember a situation. And, you know, I have that with there, and I'm proud that they took a chance on me. And we always had home ice, and we always made to Nationals, and we always, you know, we didn't win it, but at least we did what we set out to do. And I think Chuck LeMay and Chris Reniger at that time had to be proud of what we accomplished for the short years we were there.
Yep, they were. Well, I tell you, man, this has been nothing short of a blast. I have had
way
more
too long.
Yeah, well, no. It's as long. Like I tell other guys, I've had guys on here who've only done like 40, 45 minutes. Okay? So, and it isn't because they were bad or they didn't have it. No, it's just, you know your comfort level. If you're able to go 45 minutes to an hour, great. If you go a little more, a little less, that's okay. The fact that you and I, full disclosure, you know, again, you do the radio show with me, and you've done it prior to me for years, okay? So your ability to be a great orator is already set in stone. So you're able to communicate, and that's why I wasn't gonna say okay, let's just skip to this, let's just skip to that. You had a lot of stories. You have more stories to tell than we got time for.
Oh, I have a ton of stories. I have the funny ones from Cherokees. Like if this was not a PG, mm-hmm, I have a bunch of them that you're gonna be like, oh my goodness.
Okay, give me as best you can. Give me one more.
Funny one? Like, yeah. Without... See, that's the whole problem.
Okay, then give me it. Then give me just one, whether it's funny or not.
Well, they're all funny, and, you know, I mean, there's some that were just, you know, scary, like, you know, plane trying to fly over us, yeah, trying to land. You know, I remember... Well, the funniest story was... I'll even bring this out. And I'll even say names because I think this name of this person isn't going to mind, but it was a player. So Phil Rauch.
Oh, yeah.
You know Phil Rauch.
Yep.
Okay, so if he ever listens to this, he'll be okay with it. And I haven't talked to him, but this is the story and my version of it, and this is going to be pretty close to his. So we're playing against we're in Canfield Arena. I'm trying to think who would we play.
Motor City Chiefs.
That's it. What's his name? The
owner.
Yeah.
Gary Lulov.
Lulov. There he is. So anyways, we're up there. This is all before a game. So and I'll get back to Phil in a minute. So Lulov's all upset with this number 5 player. I don't know what his name is, but it doesn't matter. But his number on that team at that time was number 5. He's like, he's a defenseman, and I had a defenseman out, and Phil played defenseman. I just sat Phil in Chicago for one of the showcases, and he was all bent out of shape with me. And I was trying to protect him because it was a more physical team. He was tall but thin. I didn't think he was that strong yet, okay? So now I'm back to player number 5. Lulov wants to trade for him. I'm like, what do you want of him? He goes, I don't care. And I said, I'll give you a box of tape. And Lulov goes, yeah, take it. And I'm like, okay. And I go, are you serious? And he goes, yeah, the kid's not worth a roll of tape, but you're giving me a box. I'll take a box. And I'm like, okay. So I tell Mike Robinson, I go, hey, we can trade for this kid and for a box of tape. And he goes, really? Let's do it. And I said, okay. He goes, yeah, we got some in the warehouse. We'll just ship him some tape. So we did it. We made the deal right there. And I go, better one yet. I'll even have you have him play for you guys tonight so I can watch him play. Because now, because we couldn't do the order till the next day, then he's officially off the roster. So So I didn't want to, you know, I didn't know if he had parents. And if he was, I go, put him in the lineup. I want to see him play, but I'll take him. He goes, you haven't seen him play. And I go, I don't care. I go, I'll take him. I mean, with a box of tape, you know, $50. Of course, I didn't know how much expensive it was. You know, it's probably $500. But anyways, because I'm a coach and I have no concept of price. So I'm like, yeah, $10, you know, whatever. So we're in a game. And it was close. We were up a little bit. And it was getting a little chippy. And they ran our goalie, Tony Corsini. I don't know if you remember him.
Tony
Rowell. So Corsini was sitting there. And Phil, they were kind of good friends, was getting pissed. And then Kitzmiller, they're all kind of like hanging out buddy friends, you know. Yeah. They all went to actually St. Francis, believe it or not, which I didn't even know that at the time. But I knew that, I guess, now. I'm like, God, I didn't even know I had these St. Francis kids on my team. And then Nadoni and all that. So, anyways, I'm sitting there and somebody ran and Phil kept going, Coach, I want to fight that guy. He's number five. And I went, Phil, sit down. And, you know, he's pissing and moaning. You know, he's mad at me. Mm-hmm. So then second period goes on. Hey, Coach, I want him. I go, Phil, I'm tired of you asking me if you can fight. No, you can't fight. I said, just sit down. You know, play your game. Don't worry about fighting. We have other guys on the team that are fighters. Ben Metzkiller, Kitzmiller was a good fighter, you know. I said, you're not here to fight. Yeah, but I want to fight that kid. I'm like, Third period comes on. Coach, we're winning. So there's no reason to try to start some. Coach, I want to fight that kid. Why? He hit our goalie. I said, I know you and Tony are close, but knock it off. You know, the game's the game. We're winning. Let's go out with a W. No one gets hurt, whatever. Coach, I won't lose. I looked at him, and I just started swearing at him. I go, listen, if you go out there and you embarrass yourself, you embarrass the team, you embarrass me, you embarrass your parents, I swear to God, you're never playing hockey again. So if you go out there, I'm letting you fight, and if you fight and you lose, you're done. He goes, when do I go? I go, next shift. So he goes out for the next shift, just dismantles this guy. Kinsey and I are like, I didn't know the guy kid could fight because he's so quiet. So, I mean, he's a banger. He's a playmaker. He can score. He can shoot. He can do it all. But fighting that was on his, you know, his repertoire. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I'm sitting there, and he just, I mean, put the kid in the hospital. I mean, he wow. I don't know if you remember, but he,
it I was. Remember the, he li- I remember the fight. That
he lit him up. I mean, this kid, and then the. So then I go to Luloff after because he owns the team. I'm like, I apologize. I didn't know this kid could even fight, let alone be a, you know, a destroyer. So Luloff comes up to me and this is what he says. I go, hey, sorry about that fight. You know, they ran our goalie and one kid got took offense to it, and that's his really close buddy. He goes, oh, you don't have to worry about it. Your guy just scratched him. And I went, oh, well, he got off on a stretcher. I thought, well. And he goes, yeah, his nail caught him in the eye, kind of clipped him a little bit. And I was like, oh, okay, so I feel better. But then I'm sitting there thinking, eh, whatever. So I tell Kinsey on the bus ride home, you know, I didn't want to burst Rauch's bubble that he beat this guy up, let alone it's a scratch, you know, that kind of clipped him in the eye. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, ah, and I go to Kinsey. I go, yeah, he just scratched him in the eye. Kinsey goes, I don't know. There's a lot of blood. I don't know if that was a scratch. So we go up to Fraser there's a showcase up there next weekend, and we're up in Fraser or wherever, Flint. No, we're in Flint. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting there, and I see the Motor City kid, number five, sitting there because I didn't trade for him after that. So I'm sitting there, and he's sitting there, and his eye and his face and his jaw is all swollen up. And I go to Luloff, I go, where in the hell is the scratch at? And he goes, well, I didn't want to tell you in front of all my parents that he got his ass kicked. And I go to Phil, I go, oh, did you? I go, you better apologize. He goes, hey, pal, don't touch my goalie. And I said, and I said to Kinsey, I go, you know, that kid might make it, let alone he went to, you know, playing the East Coast and stuff.
Yep.
That's why I said, I think I can say this story because I don't mention names much.
Yeah.
Especially when I tell them the actual story. Burry and Bujacki will tell you the other side of that story, what happened after we left. But anyways.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, this has been a blast. I thank you for doing this. I look forward to that next edition. That'll be fun. But that's going to do it here for episode 82 of the Cherokee Rewind. Thanks for hanging out with us. Don't forget, please subscribe. You can just put in whatever, whether it's iHeart, TuneIn, whatever MP3 media player you use. Be sure to just subscribe, Cherokee Rewind, and they will. You can download every new episode that drops. You'll be able to. You'll be able to listen. So for Chris, I am Nick. Man, has this been fun.
Smile.
I'm telling you, man, I'm laughing. My ribs hurt. Anyhow, hey, you've been. Thanks for listening in, because you've been listening to the Cherokee Rewind. We'll talk to you next time right here.